speak frankly this morning about something I believe is becoming more and more common within society. It seems that this pandemic has become so politicized that people who make up our nation have become increasingly defensive in responses and or reaction to other people's choices and or ideas. And I want you to know, my friends, that having this spirit of defensiveness is an enemy to the success of our nation, but even more importantly, it's an enemy to you and I on our personal and spiritual growth. I know many who are using those differing views and ideas as justification for treating other people with whom they disagree improperly. Now, as a recent example, I personally know of people I have interacted with for the last 14 years through a prison ministry called Kairos Prison Ministry International. And I have friends of mine that we have stood together toe-to-toe in the penitentiaries ministering to the most vilest of the vile, who have always come together. The ministry is united in the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. It's truly ecumenical, meaning there's Roman Catholics and all flavors of Protestants who come together for this Christian action, this ministry. And yet, men who have been friends longer than I've been involved in this ministry, and yet because of the divisiveness and defensiveness of our nation, of our people, of our society, men who have been friends for years are no longer in relationship with one another because of opposing views, because of the polarizing world that we find ourselves in. And I'll be honest with you, I'm tempted this morning, but won't go there because of fear of being judged that I'm trying to be defensive or divisive. But I am tempted this morning to get on my soapbox, if you will, about all my friends who are Christians who post all kinds of ideas and support of this or that, yet at the same time, their posts are promoting hate and division towards those whom they disagree with on political or social issues. Now, to bring to focus of what I do want to talk about this morning is I want to remind us that there are some basic tenets of the faith that should guide us as people of God. So I want to look at just a couple of scriptures this morning to do that. But before I do, let me share with you just some current events that has happened with me this week that has made me believe that this sermon was what the Spirit of God was prompting me to preach on. So, for those of you who don't know me, even though I'm on the Missouri-Arkansas border in a small town called Green Forest, Arkansas, I am friends and associated with over 80 different pastors of multiple denominations that cover over 7 states. And within the past week, I have called many of my colleagues asking them about how they're doing ministry now pre-COVID-19. And there was a resounding theme from many of my friends who had started an annual ministry every year for their church and their community by having a prayer walk around either the school where they serve or the multiple campuses of school districts within the communities where they serve. And you and I know that prayer is a powerful tool of ministry. And it's an opportunity. These prayer walks are an opportunity for the body of Christ, people who are believers of different denominations in different churches, to come together and seek God's protection over the students, the faculty, and the staff, and yet also pray for the homes of the children to be places of love and security rather than chaos and violence. But yet, due to the ever-present division and divisiveness within our country alone, and within the communities where my friends serve, most of those colleagues of mine in the churches they serve have chosen to quietly continue this ministry with no announcements or publications or invitations, in hopes, you see, that they could minimize any controversy that might taint their Christian action. And I would venture to say, at least for some of my friends, I know this specifically. What grounded their decision in doing this was to not create any more division within the body of Christ, as well as to not foster or nurture any existing division within the citizens of their communities. Now, friends, I've not been on this platform for a very long time. So most of you who don't know me personally have never heard me say this, but those of you who are ex-church members from congregations I've served in the past, or you're my personal friends, and we've had some in-depth conversations, you have heard me say many times, and I think it's worth mentioning this morning, that in the United States of America, there is a real danger of nationalism and patriotism replacing or becoming a higher priority than living out our Christian faith. Now, don't get me wrong. I love our country, and I am grateful to God that I was blessed to be born within the United States of America. And if the military called on this 53-year-old man to go and serve and defend our country, I would against foreign and domestic enemies. But I need to remind us something, friends. Our citizenship, let me just speak for Michael. My citizenship to the kingdom of God always takes precedence in all that I say and all that I do. Now, if you'll allow me to continue this morning with my illustrations and my personal experiences this week, I come across an article from a national sports headlines. And this has to do with a professional basketball player for the Orlando Magic whose name is Jonathan Isaac. Now, the internet article was written by Jason Whitlock. You may know him. He was a former sports commentator for Fox Sports. And he was the sole contributor to this online magazine article. And it's you can find it on the website of OutKick.com. And he stated that young Mr. Isaac refused to separate his religious faith from his actions or his interpretations of the current issues being experienced within our country. Needless to say, this young man was criticized for his stance. And if you follow sports media platforms and outlets, you would see that there were even some in the NBA who demonized him because his beliefs were not in line with theirs. Now, I share this final story because this young man made a statement within the interview about his convictions, saying, and I quote, "My life has been supported through the gospel. Everyone is made in God's image, and we all fall short of God's glory. Each and every one of us do things every day that we shouldn't do. We say things that we shouldn't say. We shouldn't hate or dislike. Sometimes it gets to a point where we point fingers at whose evil is worse. Sometimes it comes down to whose evil is most visible. I felt like I wanted to take a stand," he said, "because we all make mistakes. But the gospel says there is grace for us all." You know, I read that 22-year-old young man's statement of his faith, and I thought, if this young gentleman has this much wisdom and this much boldness to share, then why have I been so hesitant to address this subject? I mean, if you and I, the people who represent God to the world, are going to make a difference for the good of God's kingdom, we must remember the basic tenets of our faith. And I believe they can be summed up, as I said, in just a few short scriptural references. So, Dave, I'm going to ask that you help us this morning by looking at our first verse found in Genesis chapter 1. Dave's going to put verses 25 through 27 on, and I'm going to ask those who are watching live stream to join along with me as I read these scriptures. Verse 25 says, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures, that move along the ground. And then verse 27 says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. It is our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude our Bible reading with saying, this is the word of God for the people of God, and everyone responds, thanks be to God. Would you please join me in a short prayer? Holy Father, I come this morning asking that you remove my inner ambitions and my own biases, and that your Spirit will simply speak through me this day. I ask that you guide us by your Word and your Spirit, that in your light, Heavenly Father, we may examine our motives, in your truth we find wisdom, and in your will we discover your way. This I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, friends, I start with this passage about being made in the image of God because the wording in that text is intentional. It serves as a reminder that just as a mirror is truthful in projecting the image before it, we are to mirror God to the world, to be an extension, if you will, of God's own dominion. I mean, all of humanity belongs to this sphere. Being created in the image of God means that there is a sacredness to us. And I want to remind you, friends, when I say this, I'm not referencing those who are already saved, born-again believers. I'm talking about everybody, believers and non-believers alike. All humans possess value. And if there was ever a time in our society when people need to be reminded of this truth, that they are each uniquely valued and blessed by God, I believe that time is right now. But for this to happen, we, the body of Christ, must first believe within our hearts that every person is made in the image of God. Now, what I'm about to say may not be received positively by some. But if we honestly believe that all people are made in the image of God, then this demands of us to see God's estimation in others rather than the labels that we place upon them. Our nation's defensiveness, its divisiveness, this mentality, if you will, diminishes human value. It diminishes the truth that we see in Scripture that all are made in God's image. The very existence, you see, of any human is of great value, apart from anything that they do or do not do. To deny this truth is to deny God. Now, if you allow me to continue this thought, I'd also like to offer another passage of Scriptures where Jesus is on trial, and it's found in Luke chapter 10. We're not going to read the verses. I'm just going to give you Michael Boland's Reader Digest version. Now, you probably remember how the story goes. Jesus was on trial. The lawyer was asking him questions, as lawyers do. And his first question was, what do I have to do to receive eternal life? And Jesus answered, we all know it, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, and mind. And what was the other part? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, unfortunately, the lawyer was there with ill will intent, and he could not be satisfied with the simpleness of that answer. And here's the irony. I'll have a lot of my closest friends who have at times come to me and said, "But preacher, who is my neighbor?" And unfortunately, that's the same question that the lawyer asked. And Jesus' response wasn't to say, "Well, it's old Missy here. She's your neighbor." No, Jesus turned around and answered with a parable that we know best called the Good Samaritan. And I want to remind you, friends, that in this story, we are not being told to model or imitate the Samaritan. Rather, it is to remind us that our neighbor are those who are in need of grace, mercy, and compassion. But we can never fully understand this unless we take the time to remember that we each one are just as in need of that same mercy and compassion as those whom we judge. If your neediness, in your neediness, you received the unexpected, unwarranted grace of being neighbored by God. And if you acknowledge you are made in the image of God and also claim to be a follower of the Christian faith, then you are called never to judge, ridicule, or demonize. Rather, my friends, me and you are called to be God's counterpart by mirroring the neighboring experience that God has shown to you and I. Lastly, I'll conclude by reminding us of Jesus' words found in John chapter 13, verse 35, where he says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." As believers, we strive to live differently and behave in a godly manner. Our calling to be light and salt to this world is much higher than anything that we tag ourselves to or any identity we want to place upon ourselves. So as I often do each Sunday, I want to close this morning with asking a couple of challenging questions for you to reflect upon. Question number one: when have you failed to be the neighbor that God has called you to be? Question number two: starting today, how can you change what it looks like to be a neighbor to every image of God? I pray that those questions will burn a hole in your heart and in your mind, and they'll be at the forefront of every waking moment of your days in this coming week, so that you and I can begin to be the difference that our country needs as people witness seeing the body of Christ loving in the way that Jesus instructs. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.